Hi, how are you?
Yeah, didn't see you there by the photocopier.
Fancy.
I didn't see you come in.
No, I never do. So.
What's that, Peggy Sue? There's a phone call at the front for us. All right. And your glass up.
There you go.
And seasonings greetings and all that.
Yes.
Got that out of my system.
Good. Cheers unto you.
Doing my vocal exercises. Ooh!
Ooh!
And doing that whole open throat thing.
Well, I've heard that's your specialty.
Should we get into it then?
All right. This is the show.
This is the Christmas Eve special.
This is it. Welcome, everybody, to the Royal Gossip Podcast Christmas Party.
Yay! If only we had a photocopier for that neither one of us could photocopy our backsides on.
My printer is also a photocopier.
Oh, excellent. All right, we'll be sending photos later on. Well, it's just taken all the fun and the romance out of the office Christmas party, hasn't it?
What, the people can't photocopy
their
tatars
and then their boobs? I mean, there's a sort of sense of personal touch that's taken out of it if you just photograph it and send it to a person.
Oh, do you?
Well, no, I'm just saying. That's
one might.
One might if one had been so inclined in the 80s.
Yes. I'm always frightened you're sitting your delicate area on a piece of glass that isn't necessarily load-bearing.
All the ones that then stupidly photocopied their face after someone's had their bare ass on it.
Ew.
I know. Office Christmas parties. Don't miss them. Really don't miss them. Oh, shit, I've got one on Sunday night, haven't I?
Yes, they're still happening. That's an ongoing nightmare in your life.
Oh, my God. Okay, we'll just have to cut that from the script.
And also, you have to be the dutiful wife at that party. That's way worse where you have to behave yourself.
Point. So what are your Christmas plans, Joey Jojo?
Oh, plans? Mm. Boy, howdy, do I have a few. It's hard to even prioritise to pick one out to explain to you now.
Well, I'm hoping to have my festive laundry put away by then, otherwise I'm going to tell people it's a Christmas decoration.
Oh, yeah, I have housekeeping goals. That's my whole life.
Ah. Well, I got someone in to do the pool because I looked at that and I thought, I'm having myself on. I am no backyard gardener makeover person. And I went down in the course of about 3 hours. They'd done more than it's taken me 3 weeks. So.
Oh.
Yeah, so no, the whole pool is done now. I just have to put those bamboo screens up.
But the thing is with those backyard blitz people on those shows.
They're all high on drugs?
Sure.
Because that's the only way I can see how you could do it.
But you can't do it. I mean, the thing is what they do is they show you something and say, look, we fixed up your backyard in one day and all it took was 80 people and $250,000.
That's right. You too could have this if you had no rhyme, reason, sense or credit limits.
Koi pond?
Well, it is a bit shy, yes.
Oh, my God.
Well, you know what happens, though, in Bris Vegas. You get a koi pond and suddenly it's, you know, a toad breeding spot.
Oh, yes.
And they come down in their little watered chaps picking each other up at the bar and suddenly you've got 500 cane toads in your backyard going, we will kill everything you love.
And so the cane toads in your backyard would form a leather bar?
I think they would.
That would typically, even your toads are gay.
Yeah.
All right, are we going to get to the script? Because
yeah,
otherwise...
I don't know. We better. Otherwise, people have already switched off going, I thought these were dignified people.
Yes, this is so out of character for us to be dodgy.
So what am I doing, you ask? I'm going to be cooking meals for the homeless. And when I say homeless, I mean you and my sister-in-law.
Oh, thank God.
It'll be a traditional Christmas party in that, you know, we'll all get drunk, somebody will abuse someone else, and there'll be a fight about what you said about our Sharon at Christmas last year. A flung turkey.
Your Sharon's a slut. That's not up for contention.
Not going to deny that. And then there'll be you running around screaming, the pudding's ruined, Christmas is cancelled, get the fuck out.
No, it's no more with the pudding. No one even likes it. Why are we doing it?
I like the pudding.
Oh, do you?
Ooh, eat the pudding.
Oh.
Yeah, I do. I don't know why. Well, in fact, I know why. It's sugar and carbohydrate. Who doesn't love a good dose of sugar and carbohydrate?
It's the dried, crusty bits of fruit.
Oh, they're the best bit. It takes me back to my days of, you know, trying to dry everything in the slow oven at home. My mother wondering why she'd just gone out and spent, you know, $10 a kilo on grapes to then try to dry them out in the microwave. Lesson learned, did not dry.
That wouldn't work.
No, no, some of them exploded.
So let's just jump into business of what everybody's been up to. Her Majesty the Queen was busy this week with a fair amount of queening.
Well, I noticed you didn't bother showing up for the earlier drink session. You did send her an invite, didn't you?
It's just a standing invitation, but still haven't heard back from her.
Saying any queen is welcome here isn't really a standing invitation.
It's more of a bending over invitation.
Oh, God.
So the Queen presented her gold medal for poetry for 2020 to David Constantine for his poem The Horseshoe, which I will not burden you with right now. But it's about his grandfather who died in the First World War.
Well, that sounds like a cheery little...
So I decided to leave that one out.
Okay, all right. Cheery little snippet for the end of the world. I mean, the end of the year.
So you get an actual medal.
So are we sending this via Twitter? Messenger? Email? Facebook? Instagram? Snapchat?
Pornhub.
Oh.
So I'll put a picture of the medal up on the Facebook group so we can all marvel at it. So as you can see on one side, it has a portrait of the Queen, which is a flatteringly aged... It's a portrait of from quite a while ago, if we were being honest.
Looks like Claire Foy. It really does.
It really does.
Yeah, it really does.
And on the other side of the poetry medal, which you would obviously proudly display in your home...
Oh, there you go. Oh, my God. Woo. Okay.
So I guess I'll describe it since it's radio. But the poetry medal is just a picture of a young lady without not no clothes on. And not like in a Grecian statue kind of way, in a beaver hair and nipples kind of a way.
Yeah, she has got the full... scrum going on down there,
hasn't
she?
On for the poetry medal.
I don't
understand.
You
don't do bush hair in art.
No one wants to see that. Well, actually, there are people. No, we won't even go there. No one wants to see a picture of a guy with his doodle hanging out on a medal, but really, do they need to do this?
I'm being very immature, but I was just like, oh, I thought the poetry medal would have, like, a scroll and a quill on it or something. Not a beaver shot.
And, yeah, boy, that really is, okay. Sort of, no matter where you root, turn, you're just
what's it's following you around the room? Okay. moving on. The Queen had a fun Zoom call with the guys from KPMG.
Was she saying, look what's on the other side of my medal? My God.
So it is that famous accounting firm's 150th birthday, so she got to have an exciting call where they discussed the history of accountancy.
Oh, my God.
Now, if that's not the most unbearable phone call you can think of. Also, they were twatting from the royal account.
I think it's tweeting, but anyway.
Have twatted.
They have twatted?
Mm.
Oh, they will tweet?
Yes.
They are tweeting?
Yes.
They did twat.
I'm twatting as we speak.
They were twatting. When we made the phone call, they were twatting.
All right, I'm going to cut this out. It's too many twats.
Okay.
Speaking of which, the royal household had their florists give everyone a great guide on how to create a Christmas wreath. And how you do that is have on hand, when you're making the wreath, $500 worth of remaking stuff.
Yes, I am well aware of being a crafter myself. I'm well aware of the...
And they're like, then just insert all the sprigs of holly, then get your miniature pine cones on sticks. And I'm like, my miniature what on who?
Where do I get those from?
If I had... I mean, basically, they just made like a... well, we all know what a wreath is, but like they were just jamming yes. shit into it.
Have you mean
all
like the things that they won't let Harry lay or ask somebody to lay it on his behalf?
Well, he didn't make that himself.
No, but that...
In their defence...
Okay, so £500, $500, what did you say, of items?
Oh, I figure, because do you know what I mean? Like they're putting these gold-dipped leaves and stuff on. I'm like, basically, if you spread that stuff out on a table and got a chimp to make the wreath, you'd come up with a wreath. I mean, how can it go wrong?
So
stupid.
Gold dipped holly leaves. Surely that's only appropriate when you want to put them around the bonbons that go out for, with dessert.
Not at Elton John's house.
Oh.
That'd be the wreath on his outdoor crapper.
But I
would assume that he has also busy this week and still alive is Her Royal Highness the Duchess of Gloucester, who everyone is a very big fan of. She is married to Prince Richard, Duke of Gloucester.
She's been retired for a while, though, hasn't she? Because she's very frail. How old is she now? She'd be in her 90s, wouldn't she?
Oh, I think you're thinking of her mother-in-law, who I think might be dead.
Oh, okay.
No, she's only in her 60s or something.
But, hang on. Well, then who are we talking about?
Her Royal Highness, the Duchess of Gloucester.
Oh, I am suddenly seeing someone I don't think I've ever seen before.
Right.
That can't be right.
As we know, basically, the Queen's father, the King, had other brothers.
That's right.
And that's where the Kents and the Gloucesters come from. They're cousins of the Queen.
Gotcha.
And the Duchess is married to the Queen's cousin, Prince Richard.
Gotcha.
Of Gloucester.
Oh, she's Danish.
Yes. I forget her lineage, but I think she was somebody in her own right.
Yes, Asger Henriksen and Vivian van Ders. And their children are Lady Rose Gilman, Alexander Windsor, Earl of Ulster, Lady Davinia. Davina Windsor.
I think it's Davina, yes.
Yeah.
Well, she's still president of the Children's Society and joined the Church of England for their online Chris Tingle services.
Chris Tingle?
Yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
May I ask you a personal question?
Absolutely.
Have you heard the phrase Chris Tingle before in your life?
No.
Apparently it's the sort of name for the umbrella of all the religious ceremonies that happen over the Christmas period, is what I gleaned from this. And at the Church of England website, they're throwing that word around like it's very common and everybody uses it. And I'm like, never heard that said before in my life.
No.
Because, you know, there's a lot of other services. There's the Christmas, there's Candlemas, there's
Hogmanay,
Black Candlemas, there's...
there's the Welsh one.
The stick it in your ass. Yeah, the Scottish one.
No. You know the Welsh one where you got to wear the head of a dead horse. Well, it's really you wear the skeleton and you get into rap battles on people's doorsteps.
Oh, yes.
And if you win, they'll let you in to drink some of our sodden booze.
Oh, yes.
I'm just trying to look. I'm trying to remember the name of it, but it's the Welsh tradition of putting a horse's head, skeleton head, on your head.
Oh, this is some pagan wicker man shit that you're talking about.
Yeah, and then you go and sing. You knock on people's doors and you challenge them basically to a Welsh rap competition. And
whoever's covered in the most phlegm is the winner or the loser?
No, whoever can't respond. Like if you're at someone's house and you can't respond, they can't respond, you're allowed to go in. So it's called Mari Lwyd. And it's a wassailing custom found in South Wales. So you just walk up and you... Like this, I'll just show you. There you go. You go dressed like that, knocking door to door.
Oh, so you have a hideous horse skeleton head.
Yes, that's
and
right.
And then wear a sheet and go door to door.
Yeah, getting into Welsh rap battles.
That is absolutely godless.
Yeah, I know, it is.
That doesn't seem very Christian to me.
And then if the person that you go to loses, they've got to let you into the house to drink all their booze. So, you know, it's got weird gothy shit, very surreal bad singing. White people doing rap and drinking a lot of booze. So it sounds like a tradition you and I could get into.
Well, the Church of England are trying to keep things going on their end as well with these online services that were being pitched by the Duchess of Gloucester. And she's got some advice for young people. There's something that can really help you in your life, no matter what you're planning to pursue. And that's the socialising that you get from being a church, I'm going to say chorister, meaning a church music and or choir person.
That sounds like something all the young hip kids would be doing, Joe.
Wouldn't it? I mean, anyone's fun if they're into church music.
I know. Gosh darn it. That's a fabulous thing to get involved, our young people involved in.
Great advice from her.
Fantastic. You could be the one that stands up in school revelry and sing the songs and take the choir.
So that's a happening scene that the youth need to get into if they want to make cool friends. Meanwhile, with Prince Charles and the Duchess of Cornwall, they've been very busy.
Yes, I think they were sitting in front of a lavender garden this week.
Oh, yes. Well, I have their... Have you seen their Christmas photo?
I know. It's exactly like somebody else's Christmas photo in front of the lavender.
Who else did in front of the lavender?
Megan, when she did the thank you for the food volunteers. What was that time for?
Fuck her is what I'm saying.
You are a bad, bad man.
We'll get to them.
Yes, it's very much like Megan sitting there doing her thank you.
Oh, yes. And so Camilla recorded a reading of the poem Christmas by the poet John Betjeman.
Oh.
To be played at their virtual carol concert. Their Carols in the Kitchen, which will be on this Sunday. Which I guess will be the case with a lot of caroling and other Christmas events, that if they're not...
Carols and Kates and Joes will all be in the kitchen too.
Yeah. And I read this Christmas, and again, this guy's a celebrated poet. These poets are fucking terrible.
John,
I don't know what
Benjamin
is going
is
on
horrible.
With... All they do is they go, poem, it's Christmas. He goes, roasting chestnuts. The warmth of a sweater. And I'm like, you're just describing things, sir. This isn't even a poem. It's just a boring twat reminiscing about things in order.
As opposed to what we're doing right now, which is...
Bright copper kettles, warm woolen mittens. And like, this is your profession, this shit? I could write 50 of those poems today.
Well, why don't you, Joey Jojo?
The magic of autumn, the leaves, the colours. Get fucked. There's no... I mean, he's no bloody name of a good poet. That's for sure.
Shakespeare, for one, William Shakespeare.
Well, he really was good, right? That's a good example.
Yeah, he really was.
But these modern poets, they're just, as I say, they're just describing it stupid. The Princess Royal was very busy this week, of course.
Well, she's never not busy.
No, she visited Barker Parker, which is a small business that makes dog beds in Somerset.
Oh, Barker Parker. I thought it was going to be, you know, one of her school chums. Oh, Barker Parker. Hey, I haven't seen you since Christmas Eve.
Hey, it's Barker Parker.
And his wife.
Martha Parker. Oh, no, that's Martha Parker.
That was her maiden name,
yeah,
darling.
Yeah, that's right, sorry.
What were we doing?
And the dog beds are made out of eco-friendly material, so well done to them. Another thrilling day for Princess Anne, who's... My God, there are donkeys that have been sent to retirement that haven't worked as hard as Princess Anne with these goddamn events they tire into.
I tell you what, I mean, kudos to her for being able to carry this on for as long as she has without going, you people are driving me insane. Can you imagine us at 70-something, you know, many decades from now, trying to feign interest in, well, I mean, I would like a nice dog bed because I like my dogs, but some of the things she goes out to. Oh, and did you paint that yourself, darling?
Well, as I was saying, like, if we had to tour a hospital and...
I don't know why she's a 19th century charwoman all of a sudden. Sorry.
I really likes this event I've been sent to.
At least yours was English.
Woman of a thousand voices.
And they're all a really horrible cultural mental appropriation.
How dare you, sir?
That's what I mean.
Not allowed to do it. You're not allowed to do any of that anymore?
No. And look, frankly, all my accents always ended up sounding like Apu, which is not my intention, but I have no ear for accents.
No, and I like the people that can't do an accent, it always sails into Jamaican.
Yeah!
When you panic.
Bacon, man!
The Countess of Wessex, of course, not taking a break this week either. Not a huge amount on, but she did take some time to inspect a parade and take a salute.
Are they doing parades at the moment?
They were for her, as she's become Colonel-in-Chief of the Corps of Army Music. Because there are a lot of bands in the Army. And there's actually a lot of musicians in the Army.
Mm. And the police force.
Yes.
So.
Everyone seems to have the full military band, and you got the bagpipe guys. And
the bagpipe guys. The pipers.
The pipers. She's their Colonel-in-Chief, helping them to deliver musical support to the army. And their Royal Highnesses, our inspirations, the love of our hearts, the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge, were also very busy this week.
What were they doing?
They made their red carpet debut.
Debut?
Yes, they debuted, I guess they're saying that because this is the first time the entire family has walked the red carpet.
Oh, yes, that's right. And the two oldest ones were not looking happy about it, and then little Louis was just had the biggest smile on his face. So obviously being the baby in the family is a lot of fun at these events.
Big crowd like that would be overwhelming. Like, you're suddenly out and you know you're on the other side of the rope and there's nowhere to hide and there's flash bulbs and it's like, oh. They must realise that...
Oh, by now they absolutely understand.
There's something important going on with the family.
Yes, yeah, something very different, and you're not allowed to run off and play with the other children. Oh, look who I'm looking at. That would have been heaven for you. I don't want to talk to other children. Just leave me alone with my Beatles albums.
I don't know whether I should even admit this.
Okay, go for it.
I never wanted the quarantine to end. Not only do I want to be in my house, the real sick part is I want other people in their houses for some reason. Then there's nothing to miss out on. Is that not normal?
No, is that why you've been licking envelopes and sending them to...
I don't want the virus. I don't want the virus. I just want everybody to stay at home and shut up. Mainly me. Hey, I might be a shut-in with serious mental illnesses, but what was the other thing you said?
Impeccable hygiene. So beautiful toes.
Yes, beyond reproach. So I just sent you a photo of them on the red carpet there, everybody looking cute. Do you think that George and Charlotte were looking grumpy? They don't look too grumpy in this photo. Dowdy outfit for Princess Charlotte. I mean, they really dress the kids like they're from another age, don't they?
Well, maybe
that's
the
just put her in jeans and a top or something, or maybe I guess that's not dressed up enough for the theatre.
Well, I mean, you go to the theatre these days and people are just, looking like homeless people. Not that there's anything wrong with that, given that we're dressed like that ourselves today, but...
I remember when you used to take an airplane, you'd wear a suit and tie.
I know. These days, it's just crazy how... Standards are slipping everywhere.
They really are.
I'm not really sure about the dress the Duchess is wearing, but...
No, I didn't think it was really great. Although it is a panto, it's not like she's going to the opera.
Yeah, she's behind you!
And they put a considerable amount of effort into this show because what they didn't take enough credit for was they had an organised thing with frontline workers and their kids.
Yeah.
And they had Santa visit the kids beforehand, ask them what presents they want, and then at the panto, give them the presents.
What, Santa went to their homes? That's a bit invasive.
It was a video link type scenario. I don't think they send a COVID-riddled Santa from house to house. I'm here. I'm here to talk about your presents.
We don't want your presents either, so...
Sorry.
Well, William seems to have slimmed down and lost his COVID pounds. Looking quite trim now.
Oh, yes. Doesn't look too bad.
He's got a very long, overly shaped head, hasn't he? Like, if you're looking at it from the top down, that's what it looks like.
Yeah, well, you don't look at his whole head at once. It's unkind.
It's a huge head. That's a huge noggin.
He does have a
That's
noggin.
That's my Scottish accent. So I married an accent. He's got a huge noggin.
Dune.
Oh, he'll be crying himself to sleep tonight.
On his big fucking pillow.
As someone who has an enormous head, I laugh, but I laugh through the tears at that section. I'm sorry that I'm going to be continually moving away from the microphone. I'm sorry.
Yeah, make sure the button's pointed towards you.
Oh, is that what it is? There we go.
That's the front of the microphone, dear.
Oh, okay, sorry. So this is probably going to say...
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas, and hello, Joe.
Oh, hi, you're here.
I am here.
Yes, so the panto. They did the
panto.
We're
at a panto now?
And gave, and gave presents to the kids of frontline workers.
Oh, okay.
Which that would take no small amount of organising. And they didn't really take much credit for that. The main story was that they were walking the red carpet, but good for them.
Excellent.
And they got to see it at panto, which would be dreadful, but again, terrible, right?
Yes. I remember going to one as a child.
I mean, the only thing I could think of that would be less entertaining than a panto would be a regular play.
Now, don't say things you can't
take
back.
Honest to God, a play.
You come and see me in my all-female review of Hamlet. You will think otherwise.
Oh, your feminist theatre group.
That's right.
The Ice Person Cometh. I hear that's going to be a good one. Death of a Salesperson.
A non-binary person/daughter for all occasions.
Although I will say one of my favourite productions from there was A Streetcar Named Vagina.
Oh, that was particularly good.
Very stirring, if you know what I mean. Because I don't.
Stella! Got thrush!
Meanwhile.
where are we?
Meanwhile, back at the podcast.
Yes.
We had an appearance from Princess Eugenie, who is pregnant at the moment.
Yes.
And gave fans a brief glimpse of her garden. As she put out a video, she was supporting the Teenage Cancer Trust, which is one of her patronages. And,
So
they were making a charity video, basically.
Was this in Kensington or out at Frogmore Cottage?
It is at Kensington Palace, where they are back.
Yes. Somebody put a post up saying, what is wrong with Frogmore Cottage? Why couldn't they stay there? Do we have answers?
I have speculations.
Okay.
Now, I have not been able to come across a sensible story as to why they would move to Frogmore Cottage and then within 6 weeks move back to the city.
Yep.
Because the one thing I keep coming back to is, you wouldn't. Now, if you've found somewhere that you feel safe and you're very pregnant,
yes,
you do not up and move in a million years.
Yep.
They kicked her out of that house.
Really?
They being the palace.
Oh.
And here's why I say that.
What? Okay.
Number one, you've got it. As I say, she wouldn't just up and leave.
Yep.
At this point, when she's having the baby and found somewhere to live. So something had to push her out of there. So the main theories, number one I have is, there's absolutely no way that Meghan and Harry reneged and said, get out of my house.
No.
Never in a billion years.
No, they would never do that.
So they were welcome to stay there. But what, and I knew this would happen, that behind the scenes, the people at the trust or the whoever's in the head, knobhead in charge of housing or whatever it is, someone somewhere flipped their wig and said, when Harry and Meghan are gifted a house, it is not within their purview to then gift it on to someone else. And they have gone to Eugenie and said, slapped her on the wrist and said, listen here, you're playing with people who are persona non grata. You don't embolden them by doing backroom deals with them and accepting a house from them. We want you to get out of the house or you're now on our shit list. And she's gone, fuck. And they've made this pregnant girl move back into the city. Because I keep coming back to, she wouldn't have done it. And who would have felt they had the authority to go in there and tell her, you can't do this, and now move back out of this house again?
That's insane.
A family member or someone of some ranking or organisation, because it makes zero sense that she would then move back out of this house.
Yeah. I thought as soon as I'd heard about it, that because they hadn't run it through, and they were not obligated, Meghan and Harry were not obligated to run that through anybody at the royal family because they have the lease on it and apparently they're allowed to be to sublease that out. To give a home, well, I think the fact that they went to her with that, something must have happened at Kensington for them to move out.
You want your quote-unquote own house.
Mm.
And I understand the apartments at Kensington are
dreadful.
Like, yes, but they're like having your own place. It's not like a hotel. But there is like a central staff to the house.
Yeah.
And there is on some level cleaners and people who are barging in and out.
Mm.
And when you're having a baby, you don't want anybody coming within a mile of you.
No. Especially during COVID.
Yes. Or ever.
Well, in some cases, yes. No, it's been so quiet. Literally, I think I saw one tweet saying that she was moving out and no one has said anything else. I can't get a clear answer and I'm not sure that half the people know because the Sussex squad aren't talking about it and neither are the Lambridges, so.
I mean, I can't believe why there isn't more made of this because it's absolutely wacky. It's nobody's plan for her to move in there and then 6 weeks later move back again.
No, it is not.
So I think this had to have come from quite high up, and this is a backlash to say to Harry and Meghan, no, you're not going to, this isn't, the people at the palace feel like, oh, they've got one over on us and they're trying to assert their own independence and we're not going to have that.
Yeah.
So we're not going to let Eugenie stay in the house.
Yeah.
Has to be.
Yeah. That all makes perfect sense.
Because I can't imagine anyone else demanding her to get out, that she would listen to and do it.
No.
And who would do that to her when she's pregnant at this point? Even though this has happened, if I was in the past, I'd say, listen, I'm pissed off about this. I'm not now going to move a pregnant girl out of the house that she's in at this late stage back to the city. It's if you go, well, it's happened now, let's just wear it and then the house is paid for and being used and no one can fucking complain. Who really cares?
Yeah.
Somebody enough to kick her out of that house.
So do you think a member of the royal family or staff?
I think that there's anger towards Harry and Meghan from both and all of the above.
Mm.
And I would say if you got William on board...
Incandescent with rage, potato man.
Mr. Captain Incandescent.
Mm.
And said that Harry and Meghan have done this and they can't do it and it's unacceptable.
Mm.
I don't think he'd be difficult to get on board and would be in the mood to give them any sort of pushback to their... what they see as their willful ways or whatever have you.
So they gave them they gave them the lease to a place that they don't actually own. They did £2.3 million worth of renovations, which Harry and Meghan had to pay back even though they don't own the place and it's a part of this property portfolio and they never actually had to pay it.
Yes.
And they still had to pay a lease amount on it of something like £18,000 a month. And they're not allowed...
Which ain't nothing in the real world.
And it's not even a grand estate. It's just a nice cottage. And they're not even allowed to let a pregnant woman stay there over Christmas. Really. Just appalling.
And again, who is running that place? And how does this look?
Mm.
You're supposed to care about how everything looks.
Mm.
Then you constantly do things that have horrendous optics associated with them.
It's pretty hard to argue that kicking a pregnant woman and her husband out of a home when they've got a baby on the way is a good look for anybody.
That is certainly one of the theories.
Mm. What's the other one? Or what's another one?
I think it's pretty obvious the only reason you would do this...
Oh, if you think they're going to come back.
It's haunted with spooky ghosts. Oh, we had two different guesses. There are straight-up see-through ghosts there going, trying to motorboat you in the night. You can't have that. That's a deal-breaker.
You sure it's not old man Roper and he would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for those damn Eugenie and Beatrice kids?
Oh, I think Royal Households back in the day, there might have been a phantom motorboater, but I don't think you're going to get one breaking into Frogmore. Because it's just been renovated. There can't be anything else wrong with it. So I say...
ghosts.
Free floating vapor. Type 2. Remain calm, ma'am. Have you been menstruating? What's happening? I'm just going to run this meter over you. Wake up, Scully. It's ghosts.
We're through the looking glass here, people.
Right?
Yes, ghosts. Sorry.
Because all those joints have to be haunted. If they're not haunted,
it's the Ebenezer who is Scrooge. Fucking haunted? Yes. He's just frightened them out. He showed them what their life is going to look like in 20 years' time. She'll be on the front cover of the latest... Weight Watchers. Oh,
she's like, well, I've had the Ghost of Christmas Past. You know what? I'm just going to move out now.
Yeah.
I'm not going to wait for the other guys to come.
Oh, dear. It's David Tennant and Catherine Tate all over again. Him with a Scottish accent.
Confirmed ghosts.
Okay, Scully. We'll wrap this one up.
And on to their highnesses. The Duke and Duchess of Sussex.
Their Royal Highnesses.
Suspended. Pending review. Meghan, comma the Duchess of Sussex. Honoured people who
Countess of Bell...
Dumbarton?
Dumbarton, yes. Princess Harry.
Princess Harry.
Don't. We have loyal listeners. Behave yourself.
Just doesn't sound good.
Prince Henry, then.
Honoured the people working to feed those in need during the pandemic... on a CNN special entitled Heroes, an All-Star Tribute, which is the kind of bull honky they put on CNN these days.
You're just pissed because they didn't come forward and embrace your idea of the Javanese street theatre puppet tribute to the frontline workers, which was essentially you walking around naked behind a bamboo curtain.
I've pictured what that would look like.
So did they. That's
the last turkey in the shop window. Plucked. So, So, even in the, and to quote the Duchess herself, because you guessed it, she was doling out sage wisdom on the old CNN special. Even in the darkest times, when we come together, we have the power to remind someone else that there is hope and that we will be okay.
Yes, I know her last line was sort of just a reminder to people that
This we will be okay. Now she's got like this forced catchphrase because she's so obsessed with branding herself that now this, are we okay? Are you okay? Am I okay? That's like what she says when you pull the string on her back now.
Well, they're harmless platitudes and maybe there are people who need to hear them. A year like no other.
2020, a year of challenges. Year of excitement. A year of random words.
A word salad coming at you 24/7.
They're going to make a fortune out of their names and profiting off who they are, this pair.
This pair, you mean their Royal Highnesses, the Duke and Duchess of Sussex?
Think about what happened with this latte bullshit that she got into.
You haven't even tried them yet, and I know you haven't because I tried to order them for a review online and they told me they're not shipping until January.
Clever Blends?
Yes.
Not good. Bad name. Is a super latte company.
Yes.
That appears to produce sachets of stuff that you mix in with water and it makes a latte. They're like a beverage mix.
They're an instant mix that uses oat. So they're a vegan company, but they're also lactose-free. So people
have, I was saying it's oat milk is the point.
Yeah, it's right. Oat milk, and that's the whole thing, because instant oat milk has been very difficult to sort out. So it's basically for people who have been confined to home and haven't been perhaps looking after their health and haven't been able to get down to a coffee shop and get a latte. So it's not new stuff. There are companies doing instant latte things now, but this is one that's an all women organisation. It's a vegan ethical
which is
company.
Discrimination, by the way.
Oh, yes. I agree with there is discrimination in startup. They've got about women.
Why are you trying to freeze men out of the latte-making industry?
Why are you trying to freeze women out of the startup money? Because about 2% of women startup companies receive money and all the rest went to men. So if we're going to talk about sexism here.
Oh, it's harder to get people to invest because you're a woman? That's a really naive sentence, but it doesn't
that
occur
is,
to
yes.
me that
people won't
that
invest.
Would matter.
They won't invest.
Oh, a lady run a company? Now
yeah.
I've heard everything.
Yeah,
I mean,
there
are a few examples, right? It's not actually that mind-blowing. God, people are dicks.
Yes, they are.
But my point is that she's invested in this company, meaning she hasn't given them a handout. She's bought a stake in the company, and her buying a stake in the company has made the company succeed. Because here's the model now. This isn't philanthropy. This is business. Yes, she's investing in ethical businesses.
Mm-hmm.
That's the minimum standard for being a live human in my estimation.
And so surprisingly, more people aren't involved in it. Most people don't know where their super's invested.
I'm not begrudging her, and I'm not begrudging her making money. I'm just saying that she is. They're profiting off who they are. And think about this mechanism. She buys the latte place or a whatever interest in it that
she
got.
No one knows how much she's got, and anyone can actually buy into the company. Apparently, if you go to their website, I didn't see this, but one of the other reporters online was saying that anybody can actually invest any amount into this startup company. There's a thing.
As soon as Megan did it, within hours, Oprah Instagrammed about it.
Yep.
Their lives are solved now.
Yep.
Like they're getting that money. It's happening now that they've received. Oprah Instagramming about you is $1 billion of free publicity.
Yep.
$1 billion.
Yep.
When you consider what people pay Kim Kardashian, a fuckwit no one has any credibility towards, charges people to Instagram about their explosive diarrhea tea or whatever her latest bullshit is.
Yes, yeah. They're... No, you know what? I'm not going to give that company any extra additional funding or promotion. Yes, I know the one you're talking about, and lots of people come out, and they don't. I'm not sure that they actually even use it, but it does give you diarrhoea. That's how you, and you don't even lose weight with that. Oh my God! Anyone who's had a colonoscopy will tell you, shitting yourself for 3 days. I'm sorry, that was inappropriate. having the runs for 3 days,
Exclusively relieving yourself. No,
yes.
That sounds even worse.
Yes. Well, the procedure, taking the bowel prep kit. You don't lose weight. You just deflate a bit. And then you reflate once you start eating and drinking again. I don't know how we got onto this.
Anything else you feel you need to share with the group?
I'm very tired. This has been a long year and I think we're getting to the last of our champagne.
Uh-oh.
I know.
Well, there's a new story, but let's just get to it now because while we're in Sussex zone.
Mm-hmm.
we received the greatest piece of news about them that I could possibly imagine, the announcement of their Spotify podcast.
Oh, I didn't even ring you to ask you what you thought about that.
Num, 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 num. Wait until this pair of fucking jerk-offs get on a podcast, because neither of them can just talk.
Not like us, hey, Joey.
But they can't. Like, they're not. They're going to have.
I thought they were going to be curating. Absolutely
Oprah-style pontificating, telling people how to live their lives, being knobheads. You mean, and there's going to be so
like much. Like Prince Charles and William have been doing.
And I hope the podcast goes great.
I thought they were just curating.
Wish them many, many years of this not blowing up in their face in any way. Don't I?
No, you're a bitch.
Because it will. And when it does, they're not going to be able to say, oh, we were edited, that's out of context, blah, blah, blah. Because the problem is that the people that they're trying to court are super woke dickheads who spend their whole day trying to get offended by things.
I'm offended that you would say that.
Is out-woke them. And then there'll be a scandal. Oh, he said, person of colour, but he didn't include non-binary, or you're not supposed to call it a cockpit anymore, or whatever goes wrong, and they decide then to turn on them. Because that's what all these wokies do. You're never woke enough for each other. And they start cancelling.
I'm going to cancel you in a minute. Don't you speak that way about my people.
And they're going to get on pontificating guests like Oprah and ask bullshit questions and give boring as fuck answers.
They haven't said anything about what their content's going to be.
Unbearable. Oh, what are they going to get on there and be funny and interesting?
They're going to get wankers on who talk about their beard and how they groom their beard all day and how they were sent away for hair oil and beard oil and tongs and straighteners.
I only listen to one beard-related podcast. I'm not on trial here.
You don't know what their content's going to be like. And
It's going to be pretentious, hooey of the highest order. And you know that.
Why would you say that?
Why would I say that? Because they're both faux inspirational, pretend profound bullshit artists.
So them and not every other celebrity in town? Gwyneth Paltrow, Oprah.
Your defense of them is that other people are also bullshit artists?
No, my defense.
That's exactly who they're going to get on their unbearable podcast.
My defense is not that. My defense is that you're calling in, you know, them over their behavior, which is far milder than most of those people doing their celebrity pushes.
I tell you what I'll give Megan is that she at least made something of herself. And in terms of being a
multimillionaire.
Yeah.
Self-made multimillionaire. Listen,
I'm conceding. As an aspirational figure to young women about how to succeed in life, she has some business telling people how you can succeed and what hard work can do for you and blah, blah, blah. I'm not interested in Prince Henry's life advice because he has no concept of the world whatsoever. And the problem is,
he was 10 years in the military as a grunt. He knows a bit more about very down-to-earth living than either of us do.
I saw videos of what he learned in the army, which is calling people packies and...
He didn't really.
Being a douche.
Okay.
You learn to be very free with the C word, and you learn a lot of fresh racism. That's what you learn in the army.
I don't think we could call him a racist, could we? He has certainly benefited from institutional racism.
Oh, no, I'm saying he's a racist. No, okay, I don't know. I don't even know what I'm saying. Sure, he's been in the army.
He set up Invictus.
He's done something, but I don't want to... He's not... He should avoid what they're not avoiding, which is being preachy and scolding people, basically.
I said we're all like little raindrops. How's that scolding people?
That's what the podcast is going to be like. You know, we're all kind of like rainbows, except that we've got arms and legs. It's like, what is happening? It's never of any help to anyone.
Well, maybe we should...
cannot wait for this podcast.
Should we stick a pin in it and circle back to this in the new year?
Meanwhile, back at the book.
The book?
Battle of Brothers.
Oh, the Battle of Brothers.
Remember that?
Yes, I do remember that.
The boys had made it through their trying years of the various tapes and divorces and all of that sort of stuff. And I started to really speed up my reading of this book because, whew.
Yes.
They went through quite a lot. I sort of knew this, but I didn't. Going back to 1992, where the anus was horribilis.
Yes.
The divorces, the castle on fire, that being not popular, that was the low point, right, for everybody. It was at that point that the Lord Chamberlain started what they referred to as the Way Ahead Group, which was basically a committee to say, how do we turn this turkey around? Like, that was the level of defeat and attitude within the family at that point, that they were aware that they were in serious trouble and that something needed to be done. This is where we get this idea now, and we were saying this last week about the photo, and I was saying that's now the royal family. They've shortened things up. That was one of the things that came out of the Way Ahead Group that was championed by Prince Charles, and I've heard this before with him, that he wanted to drastically, what they said was, reduce in size and style the public identity of the royal family, which would mean on the balcony and everywhere at events, no more uncles and cousins, no Kents and Gloucesters.
No Yorks.
No, well, Charles wanted Andrew and Edward to step back as well. Mm. And at that point, Andrew had some cachet, and as he would, and did fight with Charles, that he wanted a position for his girls, which I maintain they're in the worst position now.
Yeah. I wonder if that was another reason for getting them kicked out of that, out of Frogwell Cottage. It was like, we're streamlining everything so you are no longer visible, and you've now made yourselves visible. You've stuck your head up again, up above the parapet by moving into Frogmore Cottage.
I mean, kicking them out of there again has made it a news story. It wasn't really that interesting until this point.
Mm.
And that was really where that idea came from. And I guess the point in the book is that the royal family went from this huge group of people to now all the pressure basically being on two boys, and then thinking if one of them up sticks and does a runner, that leaves William basically being the entire royal family, which isn't melodramatic. When you consider everybody who's not 70 or over, I mean, the Wessexes aren't quite that old, but basically in the next generation, the entire royal family is just William now.
Yeah, and the kids.
And the kids, and they can't start actually fulfilling duties and going on trips and visits for ages. 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at the Golden Jubilee in 2002, the balcony was chock full of people like the Duchess of Gloucester and people you go, never seen this broad before in my life. Yeah. Who the fuck are these people? And then you skip forward 10 years to the Diamond Jubilee and on the balcony is six people.
Oh, okay.
And it has been ever since, right? They never get, even if it's a wedding, they don't drag everyone out like they once did.
That's true.
And it used to be that huge, big balcony picture that we use on social media. But now it's me and the husband. It's him and her and
her,
and William.
Her without him.
Old her and him.
Yeah.
And you know who you're talking about because that's it.
Yeah. Anne styling herself in a bit of the Princess Margaret style. You know, lone woman out there fronting. Kids aren't there. Husband's
and the
there.
Boys are at an age now where they're out partying. So they're smoking weed and drinking and partying like, which is highly irresponsible, I say.
Oh, absolutely. Totally agree.
They were, to the point that they were having a party. The downstairs at Highgrove, they turned into a nightclub, basically.
Oh, really?
They put in a sound system and lights, and they called it Club H. And any time Charles was away from Highgrove was party time at Highgrove.
Ooh.
Drugs and shenanigans, and you can imagine.
I was going to say, you would have loved to have been on that invitation list.
It's at this point that Charles is putting a lot of pressure on them, branding the pair of them as basically the whole monarchy.
Mm.
At a time that they're partying, and the problem that happened there was, for Harry, the Club H scene was William's friends from university.
Mm.
And what is often a recipe for disaster was you had Harry there. When you get to 18, being 2.5, nearly 3 years younger is a really big difference.
Yeah, it's huge.
And if you start running with drinking, smoking, older boys.
Mm.
Harry had some, I don't think what he did was even a big deal. Like, I think he got caught smoking weed or something and was considered. But the problem that made was, even though that was probably a very normal youthful experience, that then set the narrative in the newspapers for 10 years. Boozy Harry, Party Harry, which was no more that kind of a simplistic labelling of someone is never the whole truth.
Yeah.
it wasn't not the truth, but it wasn't also his entire identity, but it was for a long time, right? They then branded him for a whole long stretch that he was the, you know, William was off on his gap year and Harry was then left alone with people who weren't the greatest influence, and the party prince was born in the minds of the newspapers. And in the book, they infer that Prince Charles, like, for example, there was a story that ended up in the paper where Prince Charles put his foot down and got treatment for Harry and helped him with his drug problems.
Mm. I've heard that story. I don't know if there's any proof in it, though.
The source of that story was Prince Charles.
Oh.
He had his press secretary plant that story because he was so desperate for good publicity, and it made him look like a good father. So now think of it from Harry's point of view. You've used my drug taking and put me on blast, used me to make a positive story about you in the newspaper.
Oh, Jesus Christ. No wonder they wanted to get away. If that's what you've lived with, everyone in your family is selling you out to the media to look better.
And he did it again, talk about helping William with his university problems. So he would basically put the boys on blast by creating these news stories. But again, I'm sorry to say, but a lot like Diana did, they used these boys, and he definitely was using these boys in these stories by putting their problems out there and acknowledging them, but it was worth it to him in the bargain because it painted him in a good light. That's not cool, right?
No, that's not cool. You deal with those things privately. If you're a dad and you've got two kids who've lost their mother. Oh, no, she hadn't died at this point, did she? No, she must have by this point, yes.
Yes, had to have.
Yeah.
And really, the Club H story was really William and his friends from university who were older than Harry. Harry was in a much older scene there. So keep in mind, now, with the drugs and the booze and the partying, which, again, I think was just at a normal level, who at 19 is not doing that, even though Harry was too young to be doing it with them.
Yeah, he would have been 17, yeah.
Again, you've got to think...
Sorry, I was just going to say, you don't go into rehab for marijuana.
Oh, I don't think he ever went to a... I don't think he ever had a problem.
Okay.
If I owned that kid, I would go, this is standard shenanigans that I don't even care about.
Yeah.
But, you know, they blow everything out of proportion. And who knows, they might have been doing coke down there. Who knows what happens?
Oh, I mean, these are wealthy
kids, things happen. And look, you can get into a bad drug situation. But again, imagine now for Harry, he's been put on blast for these problems.
Mm.
His father's used him.
You used me, Smithers.
Because of a scene being the party scene, William was the ringleader of it.
Yes.
Harry got entirely scapegoated for it, and William ended up, because the whole firm relies on him to remain squeaky clean, he never gets any of the crap on him.
Yeah.
He always sails through, and Harry was, in his own mind, thrown under the bus, surely.
Yeah.
But even, you know, they've still spoke and managed to maintain a relationship all throughout this thing, meaning the boys.
Okay.
So they were a pretty solid unit. The thing that actually saved Harry was, as you were alluding to before, the army.
Mm.
That gave him a reset in what he was doing in his life, and it gave him a reset on his reputation, basically. He went from being Mr. Party to Mr. Army, which was a good transition. I mean, you can be a 19-year-old party boy. You don't want to be like Robert Downey Jr., where you're like a 38-year-old party boy. People are like, you ain't no boy and this ain't no party. This is real sad.
Yeah, this is not a pretty picture. Downey went into rehab before then, though, didn't he?
Robert Downey Jr.?
Yeah, I thought he was in his early 30s when he went into rehab.
And he was one of those guys, I don't know whether it's just the arrogance or it's definitely a thing when you do crack, is that he would chronically, I mean, I don't think he did more drugs than other people, but he would just chronically get arrested. He had a real reputation for either getting caught or going out of his way to get caught, which is a very weird thing. It was Downey Jr. He said, I don't do drugs anymore because when I do them, I break out in handcuffs.
Oh, that's funny. I like that.
But keep in mind, it wasn't very long before Meg. And the other problem was, again, you do anything and it goes on your permanent record. Mm. So he spent, you know, basically the better part of 10 years being in the army and everything. And then when he gets off from the army, they go and have a wild party in Las Vegas.
Oh, no. Even I've seen those photos.
Where he got photographed without no clothes on.
Yes, with a girl of possibly negotiable affections, cupping his bits.
Crown jewels, as the Sun newspaper put it.
Yes. Oh, my God. That was probably worse than anything Diana did, if you think about it. I'm pretty certain we never saw any of her bits like that.
No, and look, it was a private hotel room, and who lets – you don't let phone – camera phones into the – and who does that? That's so not bro code.
Yeah.
To even – you don't take photos in the strip club.
You – allegedly.
So those Las Vegas photos were then a setback to him getting after 10 years in the army. That was all anyone could think about.
Mm.
And again, he got back to party Prince Harry. And at that point – and I love this when people – like you have to issue apologies and they make you go to a therapist even though you're not sorry and couldn't give a fuck. Well, that's what happened. They made him get therapy. And that was the point where he did change, and I think that there was some sort of breakthrough there because he became now this new – the new woke in touch with his feelings, Harry. I've been emotionally shut down for years, but now I'm going to talk about it, which is good. That's healthy. I'm not – I'm goofing on him, but that's a lot better than the shut down, angry person that he was. But I do think that – you know, Harry and Meghan are well suited to each other because they're both interested in themselves to a huge degree. Cressida Bonus was with Harry for years, and she basically said that what happened was his anger. Not so much towards her or that he was ever violent or anything, but if you've got a guy who is screaming angry all the time, says, I'm not angry with you, it's still an abuse because it's still... I'm having to live here in the in the
walking on eggshells
in the radius of you screeching like a maniac. He would rant about paparazzi when there were none there, and she described him to a friend as damaged and self-obsessed.
Well, I'd say that's pretty true of most people who've lost their parents at a young age and been grown up in a terrible environment, which he did. I think you become a bit of a narcissist to survive. Not saying that he is. I'm saying that, you know, you...
Oh, I am.
Yeah, if you've been abusive...
Both him and Meghan, they're way too into what other people think of them.
Mm.
I don't know if I trust a bunch of broads to run an oat milk company.
Well, I'll fix your oat milk company.
Could we get a gentleman to just look over things and give a bit of a check, please?
You're awful.
Right, that's it. I'm photocopying my tits. And then I got faxed a PDF... of hairy man boobs, and I didn't know who it was from.
And then I went, oh, that'll be Kate.
Lot of confusion at Kensington Palace.
Oh, dear. I don't know where. Let's just railroad this back on track, please. We've lost focus.
What was the podcast about? Because it did have a subject to it, didn't it? One.
We were talking about oat milk. I'm sorry.
Merry Christmas.
Happy it's not COVID.
Holidays. Let's just do the news. No way we're getting to any of this.
All right.
Let's just do a couple of news stories and give up.
All right. Well, it is
for the year.
Yeah, okay.
This is episode 21.
Woo, woo.
And they said it wouldn't last.
There we go.
Who were they?
I don't know. Our brokers.
Also, we've done really great because all the news stories we've already covered. The main part of the
fantastic
show.
Fantastic. So this is where we do the wrap-up about how dreadful the daily fail is.
The mail.
Oh, God, how did I know it was going to be the fail?
It pays to have good friends. Oprah Winfrey's Instagram post promoting Duchess of Sussex's coffee was $1 million post in free publicity. I say a billion.
Mm.
Putting Harry and Meghan on the path to building $1 billion brand. Oprah posted about them on Instagram and thanked her LA neighbour. Blah, blah, blah.
Instant oat milk turmeric
lattes. To promote Meghan Markle's new range of vegan coffee. Is it coffee? A latte, it is a coffee.
There's a coffee, but there's three other flavours. So there's four, and you can buy one pack which does 28 lattes. Sorry, does 14 lattes. So you get 2 weeks' worth of lattes out of it for $28. And if you join a subscription program, that price drops depending on what you do. So four different ones so far. Somebody was on there going, I can't afford to have several lattes a day. Can you? And we were going,
Are they going to be made mandatory?
It's like, what, $2 lattes is now out of the budget range of the Cambridge followers? That makes sense.
Daily Mail. Prince Harry hits new milestone in break from the firm after spending 265 days in the US, his longest period ever off British soil.
Oh, really?
Prince Harry, 36, moved to America after stepping back from royal duty in March. The breakaway from Britain is the Duke of Sussex's longest period abroad. The father of one had spent 265 days in the US after arriving in the country in spring. The royal previously spent months abroad in Australia, Africa, and Afghanistan. Never coming back.
Oh, no. And the other thing of it is, like, once Charles becomes king...
Accedes? Ascends?
Ascends. I think it might be ascends. Whatever. Once that happens, he does, I believe, from the internet scuttlebutt, have the power to forcefully retain his grandchildren within the country. Because as monarch, he has automatic, parental rights over children and grandchildren. So at a certain point, if he's concerned, if Harry and Meghan are concerned about what will happen to Archie, they'd want to go back and visit now before Charles becomes monarch.
Would he have come back for Remembrance Day if it weren't for COVID?
That's a really good question, and I honestly don't know. I feel as though he wouldn't have been able to miss it.
Ivan! Oh, uh-oh. I'm fine.
Well, I've been coughing, you've been sneezing.
Oh, God.
No.
I just number fored.
Look, I honestly don't know the answer. I feel like, I'm just guessing, but I feel like he would have gone back because he'd paid the money to put that wreath down, and he would have done that himself. The fact that they wouldn't do that would have been really painful as well, but he legally couldn't have done that. He would have had to have quarantined 2 weeks there and then quarantined 2 weeks back, so he wouldn't have seen Archie for 4 months.
I mean, this is kind of a blessing in a sense because it's given him an excuse not to go home.
Oh,
it's as soon as
brilliant.
The COVID thing is in the rearview mirror,
oh yeah,
there's going to be an event where there's no reason why he couldn't have attended, yeah. And he still won't come, I reckon.
I think he'll go back for his grandfather's funeral if he ever dies.
Yes. Oh, yes, if that ever happens.
And he'll obviously have to go back for Charles being sworn in as king when the queen eventually passes away. But, I mean, you know, there was such a hoo-ha about, I'm fairly certain that the Duke of Windsor was not allowed to go to his niece's swearing in. Oh, yeah, we're not swearing in when she was made a queen.
The coronation.
Coronation, thank you. It's a Friday afternoon. I'm a bit tired and confused. They told him he couldn't be there for it. So, I mean, there was obviously the situation was very different, but I kind of feel like they'll just close ranks and Harry will be frozen.
Oh,
out.
I think he's on that shit list. Yeah. I don't know that it's that different.
Mm.
He might not. There might not be any invitations forthcoming.
Do you reckon William will ever go and visit him?
Nope. I don't think so.
Mm.
I don't see any fast reconciliation there because you've got two people who are...
Stubborn,
have anger issues.
Incandescent.
Are pretentious dicks. I mean, that's a bad combination of factors there.
Mm.
Because the Duke of Windsor was pointedly not invited to anything.
Mm.
It was not like he went, I can't make it to Mother's 900th birthday party or whatever. He was just out. And that'll be Harry now. He'll be lucky if he gets invited to his own funeral.
Mm. But I think the thing is, like, he's not been rudderless because he's been making things for himself to do and the orphanage and Invictus and those sorts of things. But I feel like he'll have a family and he'll put down roots and he's a guy that gets along with people very easily and people obviously want to connect with him. So I think, you know, he'll have in a couple of years' time, he won't even look backwards over his shoulder back to England if he's even doing it now. You know, there were so many things that family could have done to stop it from getting to this point and they just didn't. So, you know, at a point he's got to go, well, that's how things are. I have to move on with my life and my new wife. And, you know, the people who expect him to dump his wife and what, steal the child and go back to England, I mean, it's never happening. And why is that a preferred option to being married to a woman who loves him and vice versa?
$50 says they get a divorce.
Well, I'm not sure that they won't get a divorce because the amount of pressure those people have been under, but, I mean, that wouldn't put them into any sort of strange and unique
category. He comes crawling back to the family within 10 years.
Well, 10 years is a long reach, but, I mean, you're not even going to be alive then, are you?
Well, exactly. So there'll be no calling my bluff on that one.
I'd be surprised if they don't get divorced, not because I'm not wanting that to happen or anything like that, but life is hard enough at the moment, and if you are just being relentlessly hounded and cruelly lied about, and there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, that's got to take a toll on you. I mean, there's only so much you can stop listening when everybody else is listening, and the way that they interact with you is based on who they think you are, formed from a picture that comes from, you know, mass media hell-bent on destroying you because you didn't give them access in the first place. I mean, you know, God forbid that Harry should want to have a life that's not determined by some ridiculous idea of there being an invisible sky fairy that's granted, you know, out of all the people in the Western world, his grandmother is the only one that can be the head of the state, of the church. Ridiculous concept. He should have his own life. He should be able to have his own life without he's supporting himself. They're out there making a living. They should be absolutely able to do that. And he does tell people, just call me Harry. He doesn't go around going, I'm, you know, Harry, Duke of Sussex. He wants
Baron of
Dumbarton, Earl of Kilkeven. Those are the ones that I know of. So Meghan's got four titles officially. Duchess, Princess, Countess.
Even if you don't call them their Royal Highnesses, as a Duchess, she'd still be Your Grace, right?
Ooh. Or is it Your Grace or the European one?
I think you call a Duchess Your Grace, do you? I don't know why I'm saying that.
Ooh. Royal Highness or Your Highness, I think is what they say. Anyway.
The Metro. Harry and Meghan's new Spotify podcast branded Woke Word Salad.
Oh, what? I wonder where you got that your phrase from then, hey?
I didn't. I never read these news stories before they come to air.
What?
A trailer for Prince Harry and Meghan Markle's new Spotify podcast has been roundly mocked.
No, it hasn't.
It certainly has, because it was mocked by a major figure in the news sphere.
Oh, don't say his name. You know that if you say it three times, you'll appear on a podcast.
Following them playing the introduction clip for Archewell Audio, they cut back to Piers Morgan.
Oh, God, I hate that man.
Who, following the clip, pretended to vomit into a bin in disgust.
I knew you were going to say that. Oh, God. He's so horrible. He's such a fucking stalker.
In their cheesy promotional clip, the pair say the show is about...
So you're putting value onto... You're making editorial decisions now?
This is the Metro newspaper. I just work here, lady. Put down that fish knife. In their cheesy promotional clip, the pair say their show... Imagine a real person saying this. Their show is... Imagine if you said to me, what's your show about? And I said, finding kindness and compassion, something we saw in many places this year. You're finding kindness and compassion? Fuck's that mean?
Not listening to our podcast, let me tell
you. What does that mean? One of the things my husband and I have always talked about is our passion for meeting people and hearing their stories. What use is you hearing their fucking story? You know, it throughout feels... my life I've experienced various things. Objects, the... procession
roasting
of time.
Chestnuts over an open fire.
Yes. Various gases. The three dimensions. They just, it's just anything. It's just random word bullshit.
Listening to people's story is proven to help build empathy, because you may not sit down, and I know you would not sit down and listen necessarily to a New York cop in a crime department tell his story about arrests and things like that. But if you sit down and listen to a podcast and have these people tell a particular incident or on a particular theme, you get an understanding into the way that other people's brains work.
I'm not listening to you now.
Well, you never listen to me. But my point is, you get to understand the way that people think about things, and you don't sort of take a us versus them mentality. It's, you know, a work in project.
Well, as Harry said, that is what this story is all about. To bring forward different perspectives and voices. Oh, I forgot about the perspectives and voices. Gotta have them. To bring forward different perspectives and voices that perhaps you haven't heard before, and to find our common ground. Because that's what happens when change is really possible. Don't you want a common ground where change is possible? Don't you want different voices and perspectives in the common ground where the change is possible?
I want a different one from the one that's droning on from me across the microphones right now, that's for sure.
So I hope you've enjoyed the show this year, listeners. I know that I certainly have.
And what's your wish for the new year, Joey Jojo? What would you like out of 2021? What are you looking forward to most?
I want there to be a common ground for new voices and perspectives so that we can all come together and affect the kind of change in perception to voices that we need to perceive a voice of change. And I feel like Megan's the very person to get us there. So I'm full of optimism.
Have you been into the Christmas eggnog already?
I left out the egg. It was just 100% nog.
I was going to say, I threw in a couple of those clever blends. They don't seem to be working on you, though.
I need an oat milk latte.
All right. Well, it's been real, Joey.
What is your Christmas state of the Christmas address, Catherine? Have you got anything you would like to share with the people?
That's a very tough question. And even though I just asked you that, I haven't really thought about that. But I guess...
Do you want perceptive voices to have a common ground for change and inspire changing voices and perspectives?
I want there to be less voices on this podcast.
Say goodbye, Katie.
Goodbye, Katie.
Thank you for listening to the Royal Gossip Podcast. Please subscribe via Google Podcasts, Spotify, or iTunes. You can also leave us a good review or rating on iTunes. You can follow us on Instagram or Twitter at Royal Goss Pod. And for all the pictures we post and merchandise offers and other stuff, follow us on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Royal Goss Pod. The podcast is a satire for entertainment purposes only and may cause anal leakage. Excuse me, number one, I am non-binary, so I will not have you define... At least you don't get mistaken for a man. I hate them more than you. I'm angrier than you are. Don't lump me in, fucking racist.
Don't you use your heterofascist language with me.
Listen...
I am policing your tone.
Allowing you to define me by my non-binary penis.